Yes, welcome back to Wednesday's edition of World Football Daily. It was an absolutely manic game, as we were discussing earlier on in the show last night, between Lazio and Juventus in the Coppa Italia. We've not seen that kind of urgency in the Coppa Italia this season yet. Incredible to watch, and a man who enjoyed it just as much as we did, I hope, is Mr. Paul Visca, joining us, Italian football match commentator, and can be found at calcioandcoffee.blogspot.com. Fantastic name, Paul. How are you, mate? How are you doing?
I'm fine, thanks very much, Oliver.
It's a touch of the James Richardson's, that, the Calcio and Coffee. It takes me back to Gazzetta Football Italia when I was young and watching all the English guys kind of sitting out and having their coffee whilst going through all the Gazzetta dello Sport. There's plenty to talk about in Italian football. Before we get into last night's game, can we just talk about Mario Balotelli and how welcome is he going to be at the Rossoneri coming back to Milan in the red and black this time?
He has returned. He has taken his steps off the plane. He will be loved by half the city, as he was last time. I don't think Inter fans will hate him that much. What they are not looking forward to is if he does what Ibra did, and that is score the winning goal in the derby in front of the Curva Nord, and then celebrates with his chest pumped out. This is what Inter fans are just hating the thought of, while Milan fans are happy, even though the president did call him a rotten apple.
I was going to say, that was it's all been very kind of smoke and mirrors with this Balotelli transfer, and no one's known what's been happening. Do you think that was just part of a diversion maybe from Milan to make sure that they got their man without too much hustle and bustle and fuss from the press?
Well, the club president, Mr. Berlusconi, is an aged man, and one sentence is positive and the opposite sentence he goes against what he just said. So he was talking about, I think, rotten apples in general. You know how people tend to do that, those rotten apple things. While we've got to give all the credit, I think, on the business side to Mr. Galliani. He's stuck by his price. He said 20 million. He won't pay more than 20 million. And he'll only pay more than 20 million if everything works out perfectly. And that's a 3 million bonus, which is set up.
Well, Uncle Festa obviously doing the deals there at AC Milan, but Balotelli, we've seen him be so hit and miss at Manchester City and cause problems off the pitch as well as on it. For Italy in the summer, he was fantastic in the second half of that tournament. Does Allegri have the same charisma as Prandelli does to control Balotelli in the same way that he's kind of controlled for the national side?
Who knows? He's certainly stronger in one-to-one relationships than Mancini. He knows how to work with younger players. But the thing is, like, Balotelli comes in when the team has just found the best balance it's had all season. Milan have never looked so good. They've never looked so positive. Now Pazzini is going to take the huff. They're going to try and pick him back up again. And like, he's a difficult figure anyway, Balotelli. It's difficult to coach, to manage. And that would be difficult for any coach who has to deal with him. And the same for Allegri. But Allegri doesn't stand for much nonsense, especially from the younger players. And he'll have been told anyway that if he falls off the track, off the pitch, he'll be off the pitch from kickoff.
It's a very weird thing. We see these players crossing from AC Milan and Inter all the time. Milan, though, back with a bang in the last few weeks in Serie A and back to winning ways in 2013 once again. So much talk about how their poor start to the season. What's changed in this Milan camp? Is it teamwork that's building this side together at the moment, or is it just the players are learning and understanding how to work off each other? What's clicked for them?
They've got over losing the big players. Like, psychologically, that must have been a massive blow. A certain Stefan El Shaarawy led them through that difficult time. He was playing beyond what anybody could have thought he was capable of. And that gave them that sense of positivity. And then the other teams kept on dropping points, which added to the positivity within the camp. And then Allegri, because there was criticism as well coming in from Gattuso, playing over the border in Switzerland, saying Allegri didn't have the dressing room there. Allegri was too lackadaisical with the rules. And so maybe Allegri tightened that up as well. And the players weren't allowed to arrive late. And they weren't allowed to arrive with this who-cares attitude. And the whole dressing room seems to have now followed the coach, and things are working well, but you can't say that Milan are one of the best teams in the country when you look at their defence and their midfield.
Who is the best team in the country then, Paul? Because Juventus, since the new year, have looked very shaky indeed. Of course, you know, drawing last night, but in the league as well, only one win in their first four games of 2013.
Looking at the players, Juventus are the best team. Looking at the coach, you've got to say Juventus are the best team. Looking at the past season, Juventus are the best team. But they want to do well in Europe, and they are concentrating all of their energies on not wasting too much energy before facing Celtic. Like, Andrea Pirlo was kept in wraps even for the semi-final, and he wasn't expected to play because they don't want to risk losing him for the trip to Glasgow. If they drop points along the way, then I'm sure they are confident they'll pick them back up again. But talent-wise, you've got to say Roma are incredible. Will they eventually click and then storm back up the table? And as for the cohesion, then Napoli, with their standard starting 11 under Sarri, with that El Matador up front, are they are title challengers this year.
Cavani has been incredible at Napoli, but the supporting cast is always there for him as well. Who's impressed you the most? Obviously, we're talking about Lavezzi, Cavani and Hamsik last year. Who's impressed you the most in that supporting role at Napoli and helping keep their title charge going?
Hamsik. Watching Hamsik's runs, which aren't always picked up from the view from the cameras that you get when you watch the game on television, is incredible. He's always given an option. And so that allows Cavani the space to run down the other side, but also the work rate down the flanks is incredible for Napoli. But the main player that they've got is Hamsik, and that's why when Cannavaro was out suspended, it was Hamsik who got the captain's armband.
Paul, let's get into last night's game in the Coppa Italia. It's always considered not that important, especially this season. It doesn't seem to have really been taken too seriously by some of the teams. Last night, though, the way Juventus responded to being a goal down and to being in the situation they were in, it felt like they really wanted this game last night.
Well, since the Italian Cup, the winners or the finalists had the chance to qualify for Europe, it then really became a lot more important for the bigger teams. Fiorentina were gutted to have lost against Roma. That would have been an excellent ticket to Europe for the Viola had they reached the final. Andrea Agnelli, going back to Juventus, Andrea Agnelli, the president, said that he wanted his team to win the triple. And so one of their objectives this season was to win the Italian Cup. Then you've got to say it was put and lesser importance on it when you saw the starting 11 with Pirlo on the bench, Marchisio on the bench. And so perhaps Juventus thought that they're playing five of the not usual starters would have been enough to beat Lazio, even if then they hadn't beaten Lazio in the first two matches and they played in Turin. But for Lazio to play the final at home, that is just a huge driving force behind them. And that's what I think led them, as well as their goalkeeper Marchetti, to having that final push in stoppage time to find a second goal.
But Juventus, they did still bring on the big guns off the bench. I mean, Pirlo entered the fray, Marchisio entered the fray, Quagliarella entered the fray, and they looked extremely dejected. You say there's obviously the European importance for them, but it would have been spectacular and nice for the old lady of Italian football to pick up a piece of silverware, or the potential to pick up the silverware nice and early this season.
Like, the final won't be played until the season's over. Like, it is the game that brings down the curtain on the Serie A season. Always winning is important for Juventus. They've got it written on the back of their shirts, like, winning is everything. And they were disappointed to lose. You can even see the Pirlo's face when Flockery puts the ball into the back of the net. He's absolutely gutted. But you don't bring Pirlo on for the last 20 minutes if you want to win a match. When Pirlo came on, Juventus were a completely different side. Lazio couldn't get out the last third of the pitch. if you want to win a match, you play Pirlo from the start. Up front, you take your chances with Quagliarella or with Jovinko. Like, sometimes they're hit and miss. The two of them are hit and miss. But you play Pirlo and you play Marchisio. Marchisio plays as a support striker. It gives you an extra option. So that gives you an idea that Juventus were holding something back. And I see them, oh, this weekend against Chievo, they'll be holding something back again.
We've still got the other semi-final to go in this one, but everybody wants it to be a Rome Derby Coppa Italia final right now, right?
Except the Nerazzurri, yep.
Yeah, of course. But is that being talked about a lot in the Italian press today?
Oh, yeah. Like, to close the season with a derby would be amazing. Also, imagine if Cagliari had been kind enough to allow Roma and Inter to conclude their semi-final this evening. And then Roma with Zeman would have known that they would have reached the cup final. And the pressure would have been off Zeman until the end of the season. Instead, he's got to wait that month and a half and sit and stew and see if his players actually follow what he tries to teach them through the week. But like a Rome derby at the end of the season is just going to be huge, huge. Like, it'd be even fantastic to see the Olimpico completely sold out. The thing is, will Lazio be allowed to parade the eagle before the match? That's my question. Because if the eagle doesn't fly, Lazio don't take off.
But if Roma have been so kind of stop-start this season, if it was down to these two, eagle or no eagle, it surely would... I know we've got a long way left until the end of the season, but surely it would be Lazio, if things were like this right now, that would be considered the dominant favourites for that game.
It's a one-off match. Yeah, you can never predict a derby. How many clichés do you want?
Yeah, okay.
But Petkovic has done great. You got to say, who is Petkovic when he came in? What's Lotito up to? He just found one of his old cleaning attendants who's lost his job. Nobody was quite sure what Petkovic, what he was, what he was capable of. But then I've actually heard that Sana, the midfielder, who isn't even a starter for Petkovic, he's just full of praise for the coach. And it's difficult to find a player who isn't part of the starting setup to be so positive about the team coach, but they have it, Lazio. They think he's great, and he's proven that he is great.
There's an unpredictability about Serie A this season, Paul, and with every single side, they've been through their peaks and troughs so far this season. Who right now is the side with the most momentum in Italian football, who you think could make a strong second half of the season charge up the Serie A table?
The side from Naples.
You think Napoli can contend with Juventus? Because a lot of people we've spoken to on the show have said that Juventus will still walk away quite comfortably with the Serie A title.
Napoli, up until last week, when they've had the chance to close the gap on Juventus, have bottled it. Or not even Juventus. Over the last couple of seasons, even when Milan went on to win the league a couple of seasons back, Napoli bottled it. Playing at the Tardini against Parma, who had never lost at home before. Then leading most of the match, losing a goal heading towards the final 10 minutes. They then fought back and they won. That is a massive boost for Napoli, on top of the fact that they got their 2 points back, on top of the fact that they got their captain back, and they know that Juventus are concentrating on Europe. Mazzarri said it all the time, all the way through this season, that Juventus will drop more points this campaign, which meant nothing if Napoli continued to drop points. However, that win against Parma last weekend is massive. And I think you'll see the confidence surging through their game against Catania this weekend.
You mentioned
that... And then it all goes... Hold on, sorry, Oliver. Like, you'll see... I don't know if you watch the Total Italian Football magazine, the TV show that goes out. But what we've analysed is that Napoli are 3 points behind Juventus, and it's the 3 points that they lost when they first met in Turin. They've both lost silly games they shouldn't have lost. Napoli lost against Bologna. Juventus lost against Sampdoria. They both lost against the Milanese sides. And so those 3 points that separate the two teams are the 3 points from the head-to-head. The second head-to-head is obviously at the San Paolo, where Juventus have had a really tough time the last few seasons.
You mentioned there, Paul, that Napoli have bottled it on numerous occasions to pull back this gap. Just finally, before we leave you, Inter seem to too have this problem of bottling it when they can close the gap on Juventus. Everybody thought when they beat Juventus few months ago that this was the start of a resurgent title boost, a title run for Inter Milan. They can't do it. What's Stramaccioni got to do? And is there a deadline day solution to this Inter side, especially now they've got rid of Wesley Sneijder and opened up the wage bill a bit?
Well, it seems odd that after losing against Roma in the first leg of the Italian Cup semi-final, Stramaccioni said, oh, we missed somebody of the quality of Sneijder. And then they go and sell Coutinho as well, who promise-wise could have produced some quality from midfield. When you see them at the weekend against Torino, like the midfield, they've got an engine there which ticks over, but there's nothing special ever going to come from there. They beat Juventus by playing their counter-attacking game. When they're asked to impose their game on their opponents, they don't have a game to impose. And that's a problem for Stramaccioni. They even did it against Torino. He changed his team to a 4-4-2 to cope with the four players that Torino played in attack. He didn't say, my team is good enough to destroy yours, that my team doesn't care what your team does. And that's what Stramaccioni does. He lacks the confidence to impose his game on the opponents. And until he does that, Inter are just going to be chasing.
So it's in Stramaccioni's hands then. There's no fault on the players whatsoever. It's Stramaccioni that has to change his attitude towards games.
Well, there's no fault on the players. I don't know if it's the fault on the players. You saw Cassano. Was he fit or was he not fit? Because he was absolutely gasping for breath after 10 minutes against Torino. He came into the match only when Cambiasso came on. He remained within 5 metres of him and encouraged him. Second after second, he said, come on, Antonio, get into the game, you can play, you can do it. And Antonio Cassano gave 15 minutes of the quality that we know he's capable of, and Inter scored the equaliser. And then he strolled off hands on hips, even more exhausted than he was before. Like, Cassano is the quality player. Like, is there the quality throughout the team? It must be tough for Inter fans to see their two best players are still the golden oldies, then it's in Cambiasso. There's nobody got as much verve as those two. And so the Inter fans are looking, where is the quality coming from? The transfer market, Schelotto, Lodi. Which player is going to give this quality? Perhaps Lodi in midfield. We start picking the passes. But Stramaccioni was also told to have a look at himself from one of the major shareholders, Tronchetti Provera, to have a look at himself in the mirror and ask himself if he's making the right choices.
Well, we'll see if Stramaccioni's making the right choices as the rest of the Serie A season continues to fly on and if Inter can try and close the gap, but it looks like a two-horse race between Napoli and Juventus for the Serie A title right now. Paul, it's an absolute pleasure to have you back on the show, mate. A very happy 2013 to you, and we do hope you had a very good Christmas and a happy new year, mate.
Cheers, Oliver. All the best to you as well.
Take care. Paul Visca there joining us. Bye-bye. Here on World Football Daily to take us through all the Serie A action. And an absolute pleasure to have the Serie A commentator joining us on the show today. An absolute legend in the broadcasting game in Serie A. And it is going to be a very tense title race, I think, between Juventus and Napoli. Raf, I heard you barking in the background.
Sorry. For those Americans who are on the beIN Sports channel, you can check the Serie A or when they do the 90 and 30 minute games on the television. Whenever they do the Italian games, they generally use the Italian commentators, the English commentators that are given. And those English commentators are our boys, Richard Whittle, Paul Visca, used to be Max Patrick, not anymore, Marco Palmieri, all these guys that we used to hear on Fox Soccer Channel before they started making Keith Costigan and Brian Dunseth do it.
You've been watching a lot of the Italian football on beIN Sport this season, Raf, right? When you've been watching it, I mean, how much have you noticed a difference in the coverage? Like, do you think it's getting more coverage in the US now?
The Italian football?
Yeah. Is it something that's building up and garnering more attention, do you think, in the US?
You know what? I think it was for a while, especially while Fox Soccer Channel had it. I think that Fox Soccer Channel was generally more widely picked up by more cable providers in general, and it was easier to kind of get your Fox Soccer Channel as a little package to your cable systems or whatever. So I think that it was. Then having them lose the rights to the Italian Serie A really kind of bummed a lot of people out. And I mean, to be honest, it just kind of blew. But now that BN Sports kind of come on the scene and it has been picking up all these rights and has been kind of delivering regular Italian football, it's you know, for me, it's uber helpful. And it's kind of it's re-energizing my kind of passion for that league.
Everybody loves watching a bit of Serie A. The unpredictability, the tension on and off the pitch, and of course, having a good old bet on a football game as well. And who knows? Who knows? You might be backing a winner. Plenty of people seem to do it, actually.
We should talk about this, Juice, because I thought it was a really interesting conversation. Before we actually start recording the interview with Paul Visca, we were kind of just generally talking and catching up because it's been so long. And I'd given a book to Max Patrick. This book was called The Fix. Many of you guys are familiar with it because we had Declan Hill on our program several times to talk about his book and talk about various situations whenever The Fix is in, as it were, in football anywhere around the world. But so he was saying, yeah, you know, I read the book, and you know, when he was talking about certain Italian games in the book, and you know, one of them was a match that I had commentated, and you know, this own goal happened, and he was like, it was just completely inexplicable, like how this game was going this way, and I could not understand it. And he said, I had kind of thought in the back of my head that there was something going on, there had to be something more. And to hear, you know, Declan Hill, you know, write about it or read about it in Declan Hill's book, really kind of, you know, slapped him in the face and was like, oh my gosh, I not only commentated that game, I commentated a fixed game, and you know, as a commentator, I'm sure that's kind of, I don't know, it's eye opening to say the least. It's eye opening for me as a listener.
But it would take the edge off it, wouldn't it?
Because you told. Does absolutely, and it almost kind of makes you feel a little bit dirty. As a, I mean, if I was a commentator, I'd feel a little bit dirty. I'd feel part of that whole, you know,
charade.
Charade. Exactly. Yes. Good word, dude. Good word.
No worries. I love that game. yeah. No, but you would. You'd feel like they could have at least had the decency to hand you a script if they were going to make it, you know, scripted.
Yeah.
Right. So I mean, you would just feel kind of cheated yourself. And you'd feel like you were cheating people as well, because you've been making this game sound authentic and sound like... I mean, because you don't know what's going on, unless you did, and then you'd be a complete dick for being involved in it. But if you didn't know what's going on...
You'd probably be a little bit wealthier and he probably wouldn't be on our show if he was...
You'd be a wealthy dick, that's for sure. but yeah, you would feel kind of like, you know, you'd confused and I'm trying to think of the word here, Raf. You'd fooled.
Yeah.
Fooled. Yeah. I guess fooled. We'll go with fooled for now. Jeez.
The wool I'm having a complete. Over your eyes, as
there
it
we
were.
Go. That is much better. Raf, I think as a tandem, we can finally get a sentence out together. yeah, you'd feel like you've pulled the wool over people's eyes. And you'd feel like you've done wrong to your listeners and to your viewers who have been listening to you commentate. But obviously, I mean, it's none of it's your fault. And you can't really take it badly like that, but it is just what has happened in Italian football. But we've not heard anything in the last few months, so hopefully stuff's going all right down there in Italy and watching the Serie A football. Balotelli, of course, back in Milan, and as Paul said as well, Coutinho from Inter Milan is set to finish off his transfer to Liverpool today. It reported 11.75 million. Brendan Rodgers being given a little bit more money once again. Always nice to see. He's a good manager. I'm turning round on Brendan Rodgers. I know it may have been a little harsh. Don't like Liverpool, but I like Brendan. He's all right. He's not bad.
About Brendan, I feel like he to me, it's like he feels he invented passing or something like that. I don't know. Something about I'm over Brendan now. I'm completely over Brendan.
Oh, you're. Oh, that's so harsh. You know what? He's trying to bring the good football back to English football. I always like that. We're going to take a very quick break. I'm feeling really, like, just relaxed today, man. And I've not taken any painkillers or anything like that. You know, I don't use anything for my glaucoma or anything like that. I'm just very relaxed today on World Football Daily. I think I'm at peace before the El Clasico tonight. We've got plenty more coming up on the show. And when we come back, we're going to be having a chat with a real-life football agent and talking to him just a few hours before transfer deadline closes. Matt Kleinman's coming up next here on World Football Daily.